Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Well, I've been very fortunate. When I got hired here in 2011 with Mike Munchak and Jerry Gray, I was able to learn from a lot of good people. And luckily, I just kind of kept my head down and tried to do a good job at the job they gave me. And obviously, I started out as a defensive quality control here. And then I was fortunate enough, Munch moved me over to offense, worked with the offensive line and the tight ends. And then I made it through Wiz. Thankfully, he kept me. And then my role just expanded. Mike Mularkey came in here and told Wiz he wanted an assistant, and I was able to be the tight end assistant with Mike. And like I said, I just kind of kept my head down, or fell your way to the top, how do you want to put it. But in all seriousness, I've just been lucky. Just tried to do a good job, and Mike promoted me. And then obviously last year with Mike Vrabel, he kept me, and here I am. So like I said, I've always just tried to do a good job, the job they gave me. So.
Are there these offenses you've worked in here, which would you say most closely aligns with your beliefs?
Well, it's this one. I like this system a lot. You know, it's pretty much, and they're different variations. You know, you can go through this and call things your system, but whether this was, you know, Paul Brown to Mike Shanahan to Mike Heimerdinger, Gary Kubiak to Kyle Shanahan, and you see the people that worked with under Mike Shanahan, Kyle, Sean McVay, and obviously Matt LaFleur. But this offense, there's a lot of different variations, but at its core, I'm a big fan of it. It was my first job as a GA in North Carolina. I worked for a guy named Frank Signetti Jr., and him and Mike McCarthy were GAs together, and that they had been with Paul Hackett. So first offense I ever coached him was similar to this. Well, you know, you don't want to categorize it West Coast or however it evolved. I know Shanahan's became a lot different than what Bill Walsh ran. But the point is, and then when Dow took over, you know, obviously he had been with Mike Heimerdinger. So that was in 2013. We integrated a lot of that stuff, whether the keeper game, how you teach the quarterback, how he's going to read the progressions. And then obviously when Matt came in here, it was a little bit different. You know, what you want to call a formation really doesn't matter to me. I've learned a bunch of different ways to do it, offensively and defensively. But for the players, it's a lot easier transition to keep the language the same. So when they come in here on April 15th, there's not a whole new playbook. They're not spending the first couple weeks just trying to memorize what we're calling this formation. What's this guard center combination block? What's our protection calls? We can just get in here and hit the ground running what we want to accomplish and how can we improve. So to answer your question, I'm a big fan of this offense. So this is kind of the third time I've been in it, so to speak.
Is there a percentage, Arthur, you think, in terms of what you're keeping from this current offense to what you want to change yourself?
Sure. I mean, I wouldn't give it a percentage because a lot of things happen. You know, when you go in and saw an offense, and whether that was with Chris Palmer or Dow when he took over, or Wiz and Jason to Mularkey and Terry, I mean, there's obviously a lot of names thrown out there. But what happens is, when you put an offense in April, and this is kind of how you map it out, as you evolve through training camp and you get into the game plans, things change. So I wouldn't want to give you a percentage. We're going to keep the language the same, but there's obviously things that come up that cause you to change, you know, how you end up calling a game because of who's healthy, what's the issue maybe at quarterback, what's the issues you may have on you're facing defensively. So I'm not going to give a percentage to it, but we're not changing the language.
What's the key to maximizing Marcus?
Well, I mean, I think the key is what will help him, just like it will help anybody, is the whole offense improving. And that goes back to why we're not changing the language. So when we come in here April 15th and we have a plan of how we want to improve offensively, and it's going to help him. And there's a familiarity where you're not asking him, hey, this is the way we're going to read these plays right here. I mean, he's already changed enough. So when he comes in here, he'll know exactly how we're reading plays. He'll know exactly how we're calling plays. It just allows him to take another step. So to answer your question, as I think is that the whole offense improves, and year two, it will help the quarterback.
Based on that, some of it's largely out of your control, but are there things you can do to help ensure that he plays 16 games and stays as healthy as possible?
Well, yeah, there's things that you try to accomplish. I mean, that you make sure you keep him changing the launch points for him. That helps. The way the game's going, I mean, you're able to run the ball or you're able to move people off the line of scrimmage, it opens up a lot of things for him. So, yeah, there's certain areas of play calling that go into it and understand what your matchups may be week to week, whether they're inside or outside or, you know, how many the percentage of these guys are going to blitz you in certain situations. That all factors into it. But play calling definitely can help. I mean, it's not the end all be all, but there's definitely, it'll be a conscious effort to keep him healthy.
How much you like Derrick Henry and how much you make a plan to utilize him moving forward?
Well, Derrick's going to be a big part of our offense. You know, Derrick's got a rare skill set. He's one of the few guys he's a home run hitter. And obviously, we're taking another step, hopefully, with him. What he did the last 5 weeks will open up a lot of things. And hopefully, again, to improve what he did. But Derrick will be a big part of the offense.
Still a primarily zone team?
Well, to answer your question, Paul, like, zone is a great starting point for us. And there's a lot of schemes that fit Derrick. They fit Deion. They fit David Fulellen or whoever else is going to be on our roster we're going to hand the ball to. Whether you're running zone, gaps, pin pulls, it doesn't matter. Zone reads, there's a certain mentality we want to play with coming off the football. And that's what we want to be physical and knock people back. But that's not necessarily saying, hey, we're going to only run gap schemes. We're only going to run zone schemes. We're going to try to give us the advantage.
A lot of coaches off of play callers, they tend to go with the flow of the game. How important is it for you just to dictate that flow of the game instead of allowing the defense to do
Sure, that? We definitely want to dictate. And a lot of that work's done throughout the week. And when you're studying your opponents and your plan of attack, and obviously things can come up, injuries or the way, you know, they make an adjustment. And you go look what happened on Sunday night. Obviously, New England, you know, they made an adjustment how they were going to play the Rams and try to take away that. So you've got to be able to have a counter punch. But your plan of attack, you're going to set up early in the week, and you try to stick with it. Assuming there's nothing catastrophic that happens in the first half of the game, you're going to try to keep that plan. And then obviously when a situation arises that you have to adjust, we'll make an adjustment.
Anybody that you will lean on early on in terms of calling plays since this is your first time to do it?
Well, sure. I mean, I think that's the way our staff is built. I mean, we got a lot of good football coaches there. Everybody has their own unique experiences. And that goes from, you know, the work that Keith and I will do during the week and how we plan, you know, what we think our issues are up front and how we want to run the ball. Or we talk to Pat with the quarterbacks or Todd. Todd's another guy we brought in here who's got a lot of different experiences and different offenses. But I lean on the whole staff to answer your question.
What aspect of this job is most daunting or maybe will require the most learning on your part?
Well, I think, the most daunting, I don't consider it daunting. I mean, there's any time you take a new job, there's the unknown, right? So I haven't called a play in the National Football League yet. So I've got to get those reps in. And luckily, you know, the way we'll set up, and Coach Vrabel did a great job with Matt last year. Matt hadn't called a play until he got here. The way we go through practices in the spring and put myself in situations to call it with the play clock and obviously the four preseason games certainly help.
What was the process for you pursuing this job once you saw that Matt was going to go to Green Bay to get that job?
Well, these were conversations that Coach Vrabel and I had last year when he retained me. You know, he asked me what my goals were. I mean, I wasn't shy about it. I think, you want everybody to have goals and dreams for themselves, but there's a way to go about it. And after the season, and obviously things change quickly. Matt got the Green Bay job, which was awesome for Matt. And we had those conversations, so he knew there was communication there between both of us.
You know, every game is different, but what was the run-pass ratio? What's a good number for that to look like for you at the end of the season?
Yeah, I there's so many factors, Jim, that go into that. You know, everybody says they want to be balanced, and there's certain games that you're going to have to run the football more. We're always going to run the football, and that's not to mean that we're going to sit there and go on goal line personnel and smash our head into 11-man boxes. We're not going to do that. Again, that's another thing you don't want to put a number on, because there's certain things come up. Like we got in the games last year versus Houston. I mean, that was a wild week, and we knew we're going to have to run the ball 40 times to win that game, and we implemented the plan and we stuck to it, and we ended up winning that game. And then the next week, Blaine plays, he goes out early, Marcus comes in. You know, he had the issue from Miami. And we just said we're going to have to run it. So those can skew your numbers, Jim, but we'll try to be as balanced as we can. But, again, we're going to do what we have to do to win a game.
Your most recent success working with these tight ends, obviously, you know, 12 personnel, even 13. How much of an advantage is it to have this group and be able to give those multiple looks from that personnel package?
It's definitely an advantage, you know, and we hope to get everybody healthy. And there's some great weapons we have all throughout the offense. But, yeah, if you can get into 13 and you can give the defense a lot of different formations to worry about, whether it's two back, you spread them out and empty, you can give them 11 personnel. It allows you – there are a lot of formations you can create. And, again, that'll a lot of that will be on matchups that we see against what they're doing to those personnel groups, how we feel guys are playing at that point. There's a lot of factors. But, yeah, for sure, the 13, 22 personnel stuff, 12, we plan if everybody's healthy. That would be a big part of what we do.
When you look at what this offense is now, you feel like you want to be faster or more physical. What would priority one be in terms of the evolution?
Evolution, I think, you know, as you see this game, people adapt in this game, I think you can be physical, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's just the run game. It's up in protection. It's when you catch a football, how you finish that. It's the other guys. Are you a good teammate? Are you going to go down the field and play physical and finish? So to answer your question, like, it's not just running. I mean, we're going to evolve, and the passing game will evolve to fit our players' skill sets.
What's the difference, do you think, in someone who's hired because they came from this guy's coaching tree versus someone like you who's coached with so many different head coaches and systems?
So I mean, I'm assuming you're asking, you know, just only, you've only been in one system, or what's the advantage of being multiple? Well, I like to think it just depends on your attitude about things. You know, some people, you can get so focused and this is the only way to do it. I think it's given me a good perspective. Say there's a lot of ways to do it. And there's a lot of good things that you've learned from people. I always try to learn. You know, that's a big part is trying to listening. You know, a lot of been around a lot of good coaches. And then you try to also say, like, all right, well, I didn't really like what they're doing. So if I get a shot, I'm not going to do that. So it just gives you a broader perspective.
You literally have knowledge about everybody on this roster because you've been here so long. How much do you think that'll help you hit the ground running?
Certainly. It's a much faster transition. You know, when Matt got here last year, or if I had gotten a job somewhere else, you know, you've got to spend the first couple months getting to know the players, getting to know how the building operates, certainly the roster, what their skill set are. So now, yeah, when you come into this, I've been with these guys for a long time. So most of the time they've been here. So it definitely helps. It helps because you know who they are, what they need to improve on, and how we want to plan to go forward.
What was it like for you to see their personal endorsements, so many guys stand up for you when you got the job?
Well, hopefully they feel that way week two. So,
a lot of people who know you pretty well didn't know your family background until a couple of years into that, and tend to be impressed by saying, hey, this guy really grounded out in low-level jobs, really wants to be here. You think that's overstated or?
You know, I just, the first thing, you know, obviously I'm very proud. I mean, I've been lucky. My dad's had a positive influence, but I've never mistaken his success as my success. You know, he's always told us to go earn your own success. Again, it's the attitude. He's the most humble man I've ever met. That's had an impact on me. He's never been impressed with himself. I'm certainly not impressed with myself or think I've arrived just because I've given a chance to be a coordinator. Like, I got a lot of work to do. And improve myself, and that'll never stop as long as I'm coaching.
Every time you talk about football, you can feel the passion when you talk about it. What is it that you love so much about this game?
Well, I mean, I love the competitiveness of it. And here's to go back to kind of the Paul's question. That was the one thing that attracted me to this game. It didn't matter where you came from. I mean, whether you're from Pomona, California, or Philly to Memphis to D.C., it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter your background or wherever you came from. The football's got the most eclectic group of players of any sport. Then it's unbelievable what has to get accomplished and how people come together. And so from my background, it just gave me a purpose and it gave me something to compete in that I believed in and to make, it broke down barriers, really.